Riviera Radio. Business.
Henkel.
Good morning.
Yoda's back. Yoda's back.
I knew you'd like that. This is news. And that markets actually seem appreciative, actually, that that Joe Biden is going to pick or is going to propose the appointment of former Fed Chair Janet Yellen as Treasury Secretary. Markets will like it. Vast amount of experience, number one. Hopes of better coordination between the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Department, particularly after the recent spat that we've seen over the course of the past few days, and she's been a strong supporter of extra stimulus as well, so markets certainly appreciating that.
Fiscal stimulus, say you.
I mean, good news for you, you can bring that impression out for another 4 years, can't you? Well, wonderful.
I think I'll use it sparingly.
Let's go for that. US European equity futures trading higher. Asian stocks had a good performance overnight. This is after the US General Services Administration acknowledged Joe Biden as the winner of the presidential election, triggering the formal transition process, reducing some of that political uncertainty. Gives Biden access to funding along with national security briefings and access to other government officials, and hopefully pushing ahead with the greater emphasis on global policy areas such as climate change, international institutions, and the promotion of shared values, along with a more multilateral approach to global trade, particularly at a time when President Trump is threatening to be tough once again on China. Positive feel for equities was helped this after AstraZeneca became the latest firm to deliver positive vaccine news. Although AstraZeneca shares, talked about this yesterday, AstraZeneca shares down 3.8% yesterday as investors questioned how effective its approach was compared to some of its major rivals with an efficacy rate of 70%, which a few weeks ago would have seen as certainly positive. The FDA, Joe Fauci, has been talking about
Anthony
Fauci was suggesting somewhere around 50 to 60% efficacy would have been fine, but 70% certainly looks a little bit poor compared to the rivals. So they said after two shots, I think it rises up to 90%. And it's a different approach to the way in which they've gone about. It's a more traditional approach to developing a vaccine. So the positive is there's a number of approaches that seem to be effective, and markets can rejoice in that. S&P 500 up 0.6%. Airlines, cruise operators doing well yesterday. We are looking at positive starts, I say, on the European bourses this morning. Currently calling the FTSE up 37 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 68 points. CAC 1 in Paris up 38 points.
Still uses the protein spike, though.
Oh, you're good on this, aren't you? This is playing back into your arc of knowledge once again, isn't it?
It's a modified chimpanzee flu virus that they're using.
Okay, but it's not the sort of synthetic approach, is it?
It's not that one, but it still uses the protein spike to make copies when it's injected, so that when the immune system comes across the coronavirus, it fights it off, basically, because it's got all these like other dummy viruses in its body already. Yeah.
Is it the whole coronavirus, or there's elements of the coronavirus?
No, it's
coronavirus
just the spike. Why it's called the coronavirus, because it's got those spiky bits on it. That's the protein in it.
I don't know if you can answer a second question on it.
I think there's this
lovely veneer of respectability on this subject. I don't know if it goes much deeper.
Probably not, but I mean, it's fascinating stuff, really, and especially the new way that they're using the genetic codes to make these vaccines. It's brilliant, really.
Yeah.
And people who say the side effects, it doesn't appear there's very little chance of any side effects with these with the RNA type vaccine.
Okay, well, I don't know that. Mrs. Potts works for the European Medicines Agency.
So does she?
It's more her field. So no doubt you two could discuss that a little bit further if you're interested in doing that.
I'm very interested in it.
She is your person for that.
Oh, well, no wonder you think about moving to Monte Carlo then, you know, with her working for the European Medicines Agency and, you know, Rishi Sunak about to hike taxes.
Well, let's not get into that.
Okay, well, let's talk about Rishi Sunak a bit, and more in particular about Andrew Bailey, who stuck his head above the parapet yesterday when addressing the House of Commons Treasury Select Committee.
Yeah, he's talking about the risks that are out there and the consequences of the coronavirus response. And as we head towards, of course, the spending review tomorrow. But most importantly, I think what we're going to see is the poor state of the nation's finances, a significant contraction. In fact, the worst contraction in three centuries for the UK economy, into double-digit levels. And, of course, we know debt has risen dramatically, now more than 100%. Of GDP. So it's been a significant response from the UK government, but it's not without cost. And then talking about the long-term consequences of that policy and what it will mean in terms of the future growth profile for the UK economy.
But saying that the coronavirus pandemic would be dwarfed by the economic cost of a no deal.
This is very true, but the hope is, of course, that the Brexit endgame is certainly looking like it's going to play out, and the hope is, of course, that the progress will be made. It has been held up, of course, due to failure to agree on the details of the Holy Trinity, that's the level playing field, governance and fish. Get those right and you'd hope everything else starts to fall into place. Despite those barriers, actually 95% of the treaty is said to be final. Both sides appear to be keen to do a deal, remains the most likely outcome. So much so you could go on to say that there's a focus on creative ways in which to get a deal across the line. There's this discussion around a temporary deal. I don't know if you've been following this idea that you could impose a 7-year deal, which would coincide with the end of the next EU budget. Using a mixture of reviews and sunset clauses would give both sides the flexibility perhaps they're looking for. And even the European Parliament is apparently flexible, could run a special voting session between Christmas and New Year's Eve in order to sign off any deal, with the 28th of December perhaps looking the most likely date. As these details are indeed fleshed out, I suppose we can still expect to hear more noise on no deal planning on both sides of the English Channel. So whilst the deal still feels imminent, it could take some take some time before the long game reaches a conclusion.
Well, I missed that bit. I was concentrating on the modified chimpanzee flu viruses.
Well, you know, you can only do one thing at a time.
But a temporary deal, that sounds suspiciously like an extension to me.
Yeah, kicking the can down the road seems to be the way to go, yes. But at this point, I mean, it's just always so dramatic, a European deal, isn't it? It's always at the 11th hour. They always sort of come out tired and dishevelled from a committee room, or I guess that'll be virtual this time around, to say, yes, we've finally achieved it. I mean, why, after 4 years, however long it's been, why do we have to think about the 28th of December as the final deadline date? It's quite remarkable.
Well, it might have helped if the UK hadn't threatened to break the terms of the withdrawal agreement.
Yes, and international law at the same time of that.
But only in a limited and specific way.
Quite right, too. Quite right.
Volkswagen is...
parliamentary sovereignty is all key.
Yeah, parliamentary sovereignty. Volkswagen putting a lot of investment into electric vehicles.
Yeah, certainly ramping up investment in electric vehicles and other technologies over the course of the next 5 years as the world's largest car maker races to try and overtake Tesla as the leading maker of electric cars, investing a huge sum, 86 billion euros, to make the shift to electric cars, connected vehicles and self-driving cars in an effort to meet, I guess, the largest challenges to the sector that we've seen in a century. The company said it would double its investment in digitalization to 27 billion euros over the next 5 years. 11 billion euros will be spent creating hybrid electric versions for all of its main models. Volkswagen sold 11 million vehicles in 2019. Tesla sold 367,000.
That's what you need, isn't it? A self-driving vehicle.
It would be nice, wouldn't it?
Standard wheel driving. The Australian police have never forgotten, have they?
You like that story, don't you?
Almost as much as you like my trousers story.
It was on the Bruce Highway.
On the what?
On the Bruce Highway.
The Bruce Highway.
Yes.
Is there a Sheila Highway as well?
That's what they wrote about in the Telegraph, strangely enough, when they covered the story.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar looking strong on hopes of a deal. 1.33 euro dollar coming in at 1.18.5. 1 euro 12 cents for your British pound this morning.
That's quite lively today, wasn't it?
It was nice, gentle, but it was very fruity.
Lovely to see Janet Yellen back. Anyway,
I knew that would please you.
Okay, talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hang Potts and Barclay.